If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and what a week of TV it's been. First, we had part three of the Real Housewives of Miami reunion. Then we had the Traitors finale and reunion. Then we had the literal Oscars. Then we had a solid episode of Vanderpump Rules. Then there was that bizarre final part of the Beverly Hills reunion, which then went into the 90-minute Love is Blind reunion on Netflix, which left a lot to be desired. Anyway, we're capping off the week today with what I've decided will be a quarterly occurrence on this show, a check-in with every single active Housewives franchise on Bravo with the help of a fellow Housewives expert. Back in November, I did one of these with King icon legend Danny Pellegrino, and this time we're going to touch down in all of the Housewives cities with the one and only Brian Moylan. Brian is the man behind most of your favorite Vulture recaps of Bravo shows, and he's also the author of The Housewives, The Real Story Behind the Real Housewives, which is an amazing book that features a lot of behind-the-scenes tea about how these shows work, how they came to be, how much money everybody makes, and all of that fun stuff. If you have not read it, I highly recommend that you do. I'll drop a link to the book in the show notes in case you feel like ordering a copy right now. Anyway, Brian and I spent nearly 50 minutes talking about Atlanta, Beverly Hills, Dubai, Miami, New Jersey, New York, Orange County, Potomac, and Salt Lake City, what our latest thoughts are on each franchise, what we hope to see next season, any cast shakeups we're looking for, and more. It was a really fun conversation, and Brian always knows how to provide hilarious, accurate, and new insights into Real Housewives, so I really think you'll enjoy this one. Keep listening for my conversation with Brian Moylan, and please take a second to rate, review, and make sure you're subscribed to Gabbing with Gib wherever you get your podcasts. I want to gab. Okay, today we're gabbing with the head of the Housewives Institute, the premier writer of recaps over at Vulture, the author of the Housewives book, which I have right here, and simply just one of the best in the biz, Brian Moylan. There's really no better person whose opinion I would rather get on the Housewives, so I'm very excited to touch down on every single franchise with Brian. Brian, thanks for doing this, calling all the way in from London. How are you?
Oh my gosh. Anytime. I'm so good. I'm so happy to chat with you. I mean, I haven't seen you since BravoCon. We were all busy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I might have made out with a guy in the bathroom. I mean, it was a time.
Trolling the apps at BravoCon is,
I mean, you
know,
you gotta,
what was it? What was
gotta.
It? BravoCon top?
BravoCon top. BravoCon top, like, followed me on Instagram and sent me a bunch of DMs.
Oh. Hey, you know?
Yeah. Take it where you can get it, right? BravoCon Tom.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. There was one guy who was anyway. No,
no, no, no, no.
This is a family show. This is a family show.
Off mic.
I'm gonna keep it to myself. Okay.
You don't need to keep it to yourself, but I respect your boundaries. Okay. Okay. Well, Brian, we're gonna touch down on all nine of the active Housewives franchises today. But overall, how are you feeling about the state of Real Housewives in March of 2024? What are your top line sort of feelings about where we are?
I am actually, I have been saying, I feel like we might be in a second golden age of Bravo, in that like Salt Lake City was amazing. We have all this Kyle stuff going on. We're at the tail end of Scandoval. We've had amazing seasons of Miami, like 3 years in a row. And I feel like we've gotten a lot of new people over the past few years due to Scandoval and the pandemic and a bunch of other things. And I feel like it's back in the zeitgeist in a way it hasn't been since like table flip years, you know? And so I'm really bullish about Housewives at the moment. The ratings seem to be going up. People seem to be paying a lot of attention to it. I personally have been getting a lot of work. I hope the same is true for you. So, you know,
it feels
I
good.
Feel like
it pays to be a it pays to be a Housewives fan right now. Yeah.
Yes. That said, we have our problem children.
We have our problem children, and we will get into that. Yeah, but I do like what you said about like there have been new additions to our Housewives universe who have really clicked and worked in the past year or two. And I feel like in the year or two before that, there were a bunch of people they tried who didn't click or work, and they were one season wonder. So that I think a lot of times with Housewives, you know, you have to be embrace the current moment that we have, but also think about okay, who is going to be our sort of supremes in 2 to 3 years. And we have young people who are candidates for that, which is exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's my thing is people are always, and this is, you know, not to get too ahead, but this is what I worry about OC is that I saw a picture of Heather, Alexis Bellino, and Tamara. And it's like, doesn't this feel like 10 years ago?
Right.
You know,
right. Like, which is like simultaneously a good feeling, but also like makes you wary a little bit.
Yeah. Because I'm always, you know, people on Twitter and the fans are always like, bring back Dorinda, bring back so-and-so, bring back this person. And I'm always, you know, kind of ideologically opposed to that because like you said, I want the new additions. Like who is going to be the next, you know, where's the next Monica?
Right.
You know, like that's what I didn't even know Monica would fix the show. Not that it was broken, but until they found her. So I'm always kind of hoping for like the new thing rather than like, oh, let's get this.
Who
old
can we bring
thing
back? Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So I kind of want to go in order of sort of like what's airing, what just came off air, what we're going to get soon. And then we'll kind of go from there. So let's start with Potomac. Perfect. It's the only Housewives on right now, actually. Like all of a sudden, I feel like we had four on and then all of a sudden it's just Potomac. And obviously it's no secret that Potomac is probably having its worst season ever this year.
I would say this season of Potomac is the worst season of Housewives of all time.
Wow. Okay. That's a big statement.
It's just unwatchable, boring. No one's doing what they're supposed to be doing. I don't care about the fights. I don't care about the women because they won't make up. I don't like any of them. I don't want to spend time with them. Like if I weren't getting paid, literally getting paid to watch it, I would not be watching it. And
So I was feeling similarly strong feelings to you. I will say, once they went on the trip, I felt like there were moments where we were getting, like we were getting pockets of why I love Potomac, which is like, it felt a little bit funnier. It felt a little lighter. We were kind of moving on from these issues that were dragging down the first half of the season. There's still too many blockages in this cast, but I will say the back half has been like a little bit, and again, the bar was low, I will say, I guess.
Oh God. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. And that's the thing that like, in Atlanta, during its best years, they had people who, Nene and Kim, all sorts of people who could never get along. But when they would go on trips and they'd have events, they'd still have fun together.
Yeah.
And they'd still make each other laugh. And they'd make us laugh. And it was like, even when they were having these stupid fights, it was like, even though Nene's being an asshole, I still like Nene. you know? And here I'm like, oh, I don't like any of you anymore. Like, you're all just terrible, except for Karen, who I still love.
Karen is really the only one who's at least like trying to push things forward, it feels like.
And, yes.
You know, I think there was a clip from Andy's radio show or something where it really sounded, and maybe Robin was on Watch What Happens Live, and it kind of sounds like, you know, there wasn't as much resolution as we may have hoped from this season to, again, move things along. Because, again, as we know, one of the jobs of a housewife is to resolve conflict and move forward with one another. And Andy, you know, he even admitted, like, one of the things that made this season not very strong is that there are too many people who won't even engage with one another. If you are a producer of Housewives of Potomac and you're in charge of writing the ship for season 9, what do you do? What does it look like?
This is my idea, okay? I'm taking a page from Survivor, and this is what I want to do. At the reunion, Andy says, you bitches all need to get over everything right now, and if you can't, I'm picking a name out of the hat, and that person's fired.
Wow.
And that's it.
Would you be happy with any name coming out of that hat?
Karen's name, Karen is immune.
Karen's
Karen
on
won the
hat.
Immunity
Karen
necklace.
Is the hat.
Karen is the hat, and Karen is like, yes. But like, that's the thing, is like, because it's like pairs of people, and I think you need to show Giselle, Karen, Robin, all the people that are too comfortable, that like, if you can't get over this, you're losing your job. And because I think they all feel complacent, they all feel too safe, and that they need to go away. Also, Candace has been giving me late stage Nene vibes, where like,
I see that
she feels like she's better than the show. She doesn't want to be there. She wants to be pursuing her entertainment career, but she knows she can't do that without the Housewives. So she's stuck there. And so Candace either needs to A, get over it, or B, leave. And that's kind of it.
I do feel like, even though like season 6 was, I think, was still a good season, I think ever since the Monique Candace situation, that's sort of where the shift happened for Potomac, where things sort of going down this wrong direction of like, we put a stake in the ground and we don't move and and that I think is kind of, and sometimes driven by Candace. I mean, Giselle and Robin don't like to engage with her and Wendy either, but like, it's so frustrating to watch. And like, part of me is sort of like, okay, what if you took Robin out of the equation, and what does Giselle do with that without having that right-hand person? Or similarly with Candace and Wendy, if you take Wendy or Candace out of the situation, do they have to, does that force them to like make new alliances that they maybe wouldn't have had before?
No. And I think that we saw exactly that happen on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, not to jump ahead, but when they finally dismantled essentially the Fox Force 5 by getting rid of Lisa Rinna, now we have Kyle and Dorit are fighting, and Erica is closest to Kyle because she doesn't have Lisa Rinna anymore. You broke up that group. And so now the main kind of alliance is Crystal, Sutton, Garcelle, you know, and so that's making Kyle have to be more honest about what's really going on because she doesn't have that protection.
Right.
And I think we need a similar shakeup at Potomac. And, you know, I don't know who that is, but I think you need to get rid of one of the major players to get everybody else being like, oh, we need to show up and we need to, and to kind of reconfigure, you know, how they're going to approach.
Right. Right. And I feel like for so long, I like sort of commended Potomac for having these four OGs who have been around for so long. And it was so impressive. But I feel like maybe 8 seasons is too long to have four OGs around. It's like at a certain point, it sort of backfires. And like, okay, like you said, people are too comfortable.
No, and I think if you can get them to get along again, and I really do think that the big drivers of people not wanting to get along with each other are Candace and Wendy, to be perfectly honest. But yes, I'm with you. That's what I like about Potomac, is that they really do have this deep bond. And even if that bond is just, we've been on the show together for a long time, it's still a really good, unique bond, and that those women do have fun with each other. And I always point out, my favorite thing about Potomac is that it really is a rivalry of equals between Karen and Giselle, you know, and it's like, and that's what I really like about it. And I don't need them to get along, but I do like that they can say, we can fight, but we still love each other. And
it's
we
a roller coaster
still
that they're both on together. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's move on to Beverly Hills. You sort of alluded to sort of how this season, I think, has been different from the past, you know, 3 to 4 seasons. I kind of think that the biggest difference, you know, obviously Rinna being out of it was a huge factor, but I also think Beverly Hills for the past 3 to 4 years had been a single issue show. It was like, there was Puppygate, there was Denise Richards, there was Erica, there have been these like moments where it's like that's the whole season. And this year was multi-pronged. Like there wasn't a single issue. We thought it would be Kyle Mauricio, but it ended up being a little bit more complex.
The soft again. Exactly. They're still being crazy.
Do you think that that worked for the show?
I do, because that was always my not necessarily a problem. Like when the issue was good, like when it was like Erica, you know, it was kind of juicy and exciting. But when it was Puppygate, it was like, Jesus Christ, this again, you know? And I will say, though, it did get back to an old thing about Beverly Hills I didn't like without Lisa Rinna being there, which is not really wanting to be totally upfront with everything that's going on. And like, basically, the whole season was Sutton wanting to say, are you fucking Morgan, and not being able to say it, and Kyle avoiding the question. And like, Lisa Rinna would have been like, are you fucking this girl? And Kyle would have had to answer. And so I do miss that kind of like directness of the Lisa Rinna era. But I do think that this was better, like you said, because there was more going on. But once we got to the post-pot dinner, it was really a kind of slow decline for me in terms of how interesting it was.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. And, you know, I think like you're saying with the Kyle stuff, basically this third part of the reunion that we just saw, it was kind of an uncomfortable watch because it kind of felt like every question was going to Kyle because it was just about the Mauricio Morgan stuff. And so everyone else was sort of just like watching this like interrogation of Kyle by Andy, which like had to happen. Like he had to ask a lot of these questions. And she wasn't very upfront about the Mauricio stuff. And, you know, I do think that as viewers, we're owed a little bit more than she's giving us. And I do. But
agree.
On the other hand, I think that I actually thought that in the last 5 minutes where he'd asked her about Morgan and she seems really kind of unsure about actually what it all means to her, because I think she is figuring it out. I think that I was talking to my brother, it's like she really values like the sanctity of marriage. And like I don't think she's going to cross that line until like, it's clear where her and Mauricio are going. And then, but she has this complicated feelings with Morgan that I genuinely believe she doesn't know what to do with them.
With the Morgan stuff, I can feel a little bit more sympathy. But when they were like, why did your relationship with Mauricio end? And she said, it's none of your fucking business.
Yeah,
I was
tough.
No, you made it our business. And so now you have to answer. Sorry.
I know. It's like I said, like, what were the things, quote, that were sort of deal breakers for her?
And when she says, I had to put up with a lot, does it mean he was serially cheating on you like we all think?
Or was it the rumor that he was cheating on you? We're still tiptoeing around something. And I kind of thought that bringing in Kathy was a way to sort of like pull the truth out of her from a different angle. And that still didn't really work. So kind of like, why was Kathy there?
Kathy can't like focus on anyone else. And like, oh my God, the best part of the whole reunion is when Sutton's having her stroke or whatever. And Erica's like, oh, so is your Christmas tree still up?
That was wild. The editing of that part was really something.
But speaking of that, I will say, to your point, I wish that we could have had this interrogation of Kyle before Sutton's a medical emergency, because I think if Sutton and Garcelle were there, they would have pushed her harder. But B, I also wanted them to answer for what exactly they were saying when they were bringing this stuff up.
I agree.
And what did they know? And what did they think? And were you doing this because of Morgan? Or were you doing this because of, you know, like, I wanted more answers from them about how we got here.
I thought it was a little bit, and I love Garcelle, but I don't think she should have been able to escort Sutton to the hospital and get out of the last part of the reunion. I'm not sure that was necessary.
Agree. But I will say, I loved how even though they left, they still wouldn't let Anna Marie sit next to Andy Cohen. They were like, bitch, you are still on the end of that couch. You're not coming back.
There's an empty space next to Andy.
Right? Exactly. I mean, they did Anna Marie dirty.
I mean, I think she did herself dirty personally, but
I mean,
I don't even really need to spend time. Yeah, I agree.
May she and Diana Jenkins fade into obscurity forever.
Listen, I am with you on that. You know, a topic that you know a lot about, Erica, I think that she had a redemption season. This, in my eyes, like you know, I just think that even though she's still not perfect and she still hasn't like completely owned up to everything, ultimately, I think that she is back to sort of that like unapologetic, cunty woman that we all love, or not maybe not all of us, but a lot of us love. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but in my eyes, Erica is sort of, I could see Erica being on the show for 10 more years and just like, she just rides it out, you know?
Well, and I think that they're never going to get rid of Kyle. And now Erica is essentially Kyle's only ally on the show. And so I don't think Erica's going anywhere. Yeah. And when she had that conversation with Kyle, when they picked up filming again, where she's, you know, this is true love. Like, that was Erica at her best. And I think that's like what Erica brings to the show, is that she has a very unique and different perspective from the rest of the women. And I think that we really got to see that this year. And we got to see a lot of the fun Erica that we hadn't gotten. And I think everybody should watch that special of hers. I think it was, it was really well done. And it really showed how this all affected her on a much more personal level than we got to see on the show.
And the last thing about Beverly Hills is Dorit had a really bad season. She's been on the show for a while now. It's like all of a sudden she's been around for 7 years or whatever it is. A lot of people think that she's kind of like donezo. Do you think that? What do you hope next season looks like for Beverly Hills in terms of the cast?
I have never been a huge Dorit fan, and, you know, but then I was kind of like, okay, she, you know, she was like Kyle's friend and she would bring the fashion and she would do whatever. Now I'm just done. And most of it is over the fact that, like, both Crystal and Garcelle are saying to her, like, you did something wrong. And she goes, well, Dorit keeps saying, if I did something wrong, tell me and I'll fix it. And then they're both like, you did something wrong. And she's like, no, I didn't.
Right.
And so it's like Dorit failing to learn, failing to evolve, failing to do something new, I'm like here for. The only way I would allow Dorit to stay is if she publishes the tax returns. Like, if oh my God, she wants to get into the finance, I'm here for it. Otherwise, pack your bags, Dorit, and go back to wherever that accent is from.
From my home state
of Connecticut.
So you would take a Dorit takedown season, essentially, if it was like about sort of the unraveling of the life that is kind of a house of cards.
But also, like, you know, I think a lot of fans are rightfully angry at Kyle for not being very forthcoming with us this season. And when she was, and when Andy was like, oh, how are you P&K doing now? She goes, better than ever.
Right.
It was like, eye roll central, bitch. Like, you still can't be honest with us. And so, I don't care.
No, exactly. Okay, so we also just finished the Miami reunion. That's, let's talk about Miami next. I mean, Miami has
don't
to
touch
be,
it. Don't do a thing.
I know. Miami has to be the strongest franchise, right? I mean, like you said, it's had three perfect seasons back to back with the exact same cast back to back to back. Like,
yes. And I think it's a big, we need bigger casts, more big casts. We need more
an advocate of that.
Friends of who are involved. It's like we keep getting these like bullshitty friends of, like, what's the woman in Potomac who,
Kiarna or
Kiarna?
I don't even know how to say her name.
Like, why are you here? What are you doing? Like, I want good friends of, I want them more involved. I want a lot of people. And the thing about Miami is that, like Atlanta in its best years, is they still have fun with each other. They still like each other.
Yeah.
They're still connected. And that the drama is both like really good and, like, you know, we're dealing with cancer and divorce and marriage and all this shit, but also it's so stupid. Like, we're fighting about whether or not Lisa's house has a mortgage.
And that's, like, what's fun about it. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, because that's what, like, I like it.
Who fucking cares? Like,
yeah.
And like, oh my God, I love hating Larsa Pippen so much because
she's
you don't
so
even
necessary.
Have to think about it.
She's,
it's
so, like, necessary.
It's right there on the surface. It's just like easy.
There's just something so watchable about how she acts on camera. It's so hard to put into words, but it's like, it's not even maddening to me. It's just like fascinating. It's just sort of like, how much of this do you really believe? How much of this is just an artifice that you've made knowingly? I just don't know.
And it's like pathological because it's the same in every single fight. Right. And she and Alexia fight in the exact same way. So it's like two brick walls just colliding into each other. And it's like, it's both frustrating and fascinating. And I'm just like,
it was only a matter of time before those two really came to a head. And I liked watching it. So you know what?
Yeah.
Why do you think, Brian, like, I feel like it's, if you are an avid Housewives watcher, you know that Miami is one of, if not the strongest franchise, but it still feels like it doesn't get the respect it deserves from a wider group of the viewership, from Bravo sometimes. I know the cast, some of the cast feels that way as well. Like, why do you think that is?
I have no idea, honestly, because it's one thing if it wasn't great, you know, but it's so good.
It's so good.
There are people like us who are, you know, kind of professional housewivesers who that people listen to for whatever
reason.
Yeah. And we're always like, watch Miami. It's so good. Watch Miami. It's so good. And especially like, I'll tell people, just start with the reboot years. It's like three seasons. It's not that many episodes. You know what I mean? It seems like an easy entry. But yeah, I don't know. And now that it's even been on Bravo, I'm having... I don't know.
It's hard to pinpoint. The other conversation that's like kind of always at the surface with Miami is, why don't, you know, Adriana and Kiki and Marisol have mojitos? Like they're friends of, but they really should be full time and they're in every scene. Do you care about that conversation anymore? Does it really matter? Is it just a respect thing? I don't know. Like, what do you make of that?
I feel two ways of it because like usually, if you're a quote unquote friend of, that means that we don't see your home scenes. You don't get a personal storyline. You don't host events. You don't host vacations, but you don't get a tagline at the end, you know, but these three are getting those. And so I feel like they're almost a step between a Kiarna and like full time. And I think that that's a great place to be.
Yeah, it's like, I agree.
You know, we go to Marisol's house, we see the husband, but we don't need her to come up with some stupid fucking business or whatever. She can just be like part of the group. And I think that's the benefit of having a really good big cast. And so to me, as long as they're getting paid as well as the rest of the ladies, I don't care about the distinction, but I do think that they deserve their due in terms of compensation. And I hope that they're getting it because they're adding just as much to the show as anyone else.
Yeah, totally. Like on the last reunion, it was sort of like we started with the main cast, then they brought Marisol and Adriana back onto the couches, then they brought Kiki, and it was a sort of weird hierarchy. And this time, at least, they were all on the couches the entire time. I think the only change that I would just like to see is keep Kiki a friend of if you want to, but like we've never even seen the inside of her apartment on the show. So I would love to see at least like her kid or the apartment or something that really gives us like an understand. Cause we heard more about her story, but it was more in confessionals.
Yeah.
I want to see her life. I want to see what her life is like.
Well, and that's how I felt about Marlo is like, I was never like make her a friend of until she adopted those kids. And then I was like, oh, this is fascinating. And I want to see this. Right. And I think that it was a really good time to get into Marlo's home life. And yeah, I don't know that we need Kiki's home life necessarily or to see the kids or like whatever. But
I
like,
just want to know that a little bit.
Well, and did you hear what her tagline would be at BravoCon?
No, what is it?
She said her tagline would be, I'm a burger queen. I want it my way. And I was like, that is amazing.
I need her in the intro just for that.
Exactly. And they need to give those bitches a new intro. We've had the same one for 3 years.
I know.
Get Larsa out of that fuck off dress.
That blue
already.
Dress. I
hate it.
I look at it every time. Okay. It seems like we're on the same page about Miami. So let's move on to the next franchise that's going to premiere soon, Jersey. We got the trailer for the new season. What were your reactions to the trailer?
Well, I loathe Teresa Giudice with the fire of a billion suns. And I cannot wait for Louis to spend all of her money. So I'm like very excited for this. From the trailer, and you know, the trailer's job is to make the season look amazing.
Yep.
I'm excited that it's not centered on a Melissa Teresa drama and that we're getting some other stuff. It looks like from Danielle and Rachel, who were excellent additions, and I'm excited for them to be in it more. I really want to see this Jackie turnaround.
Me too.
Like, there's a lot going on that I'm excited about. And from a Melissa Teresa perspective, I'm also excited for a season where they can just openly fucking hate each other.
Yeah.
And like, what does that look like? Because we've always seen them pretending like that we still like each other. And I'm ready for like, the gloves are off. You know, yeah. Let's go for it.
That last reunion, there was a huge turning point where they like you said, they finally admitted it. They were open about their true feelings about one another. So much so that I feel like the sort of prevailing sentiment among fans was like, how are they both going to come back to this show? But it seems like, at least from the trailer, that like that production somehow figured it out where they can have them coexist. They probably don't film that much together. And that's okay, because there are enough other issues clearly happening. The thing about Jersey is that the women know what it takes. Like, they know that they have to like do that to like make good TV, and they're down. And against all odds, it seems like they can both stay on the show, be the big stars that they are, and just kind of coexist and hate each other.
Yeah. And from a like reality television professional point of view, I really want to see how this season works and how they get it to work.
Yeah.
For instances like on Vanderpump Rules, how you have like Katie and Tom are divorced but have to be on the show together, or obviously Ariana and Tom Sandoval. Like, I think that there's a lot of these instances where we have people who hate each other who get stuck together. Mm-hmm. And how do we make a good show working around those people where you're not like disappointed all the time?
Right. And you mentioned Rachel and Danielle are really, they were great additions last year. And they're clearly even stepping it up again this coming season. I mean, the Fudas as a couple clearly are like dialing it in, because John Fuda has a couple one-liners in the trailer alone.
Yes.
You know, it's them against Teresa and Louie, it seems like. We're getting Danielle versus Jennifer Aiden. There's a turn there. Jen Fessler's in the mix more now, her and Rachel Fuda, some sort of like falling out. And it seems like it's still kind of along this sort of central fault line of like Melissa, Margaret, Teresa, Jennifer, Dolores is the fault line. And then everyone's sort of like jumping between that line. But I'm still interested in it. I still am.
Well, I've been saying for the past couple of years that Real Housewives of New Jersey is actually a show about a group of male friends whose wives all hate each other. Like, that's really what the show has become.
It's accurate.
And I'm like here for it. You know what I mean? Like, I really like that dynamic. I like that the guys are in it. I like the family atmosphere. Like, I am more excited for Jersey than I have been in a really long time.
Yeah.
And I hope that it delivers.
I think, yeah, me too. Last thing about Jersey, you mentioned the Jackie jumping alliances thing. She's going from the Melissa Margaret group to the Teresa group. And even two seasons ago, that would have been unfathomable. How do you read that? Is it a desperate move to stay on the show because she was sort of a non-entity last season, as a friend of? Is it a genuine jump because she heard that Margaret was behind some rumor? Like, what does it tell you? How do you read it?
It seems from what we know so far, like a little bit craven, like, oh, I know what will create drama. I'm going to jump sides and now whatever. But I'm curious to see how it plays out on the show. And I'm curious to see, will Margaret and Melissa still like her, or are they just going to like fully turn on her?
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how it's going to play out. And know what? I will say, one of my favorite annual traditions of the Real Housewives has become the charity softball game. Very excited for a charity softball game.
It's fun. It's fun. There's always there's a locker room kerfluffle every single time. And, you know, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
Okay. So the next franchise we are getting is Dubai. Uh-huh. We mentioned this a little bit off mic, but Dubai is finally getting its second season, literally 2 years after the first season premiered. Thoughts?
Did they show the first episode of BravoCon?
Yep. I didn't go to the screening, but they screened the first episode of season two.
I didn't either. I don't know anyone who did. That's not promising that they showed the first episode in November and we haven't had a trailer. And then they pulled out that week teaser trailer was dumb. Like, I didn't really take to season one of Dubai. I have some ideological issues with us even being in Dubai. Right. So yeah, I don't write about it. And if I weren't a housewives completist, I don't know that I would continue watching it.
It feels inessential, which is, it's tough. Yes. The tough thing about it is that I really do think that like Chanel Ayan is a big star. Like she's down to play the game. Caroline Sanbury was a big star in Ladies of London. I'm not sure she's really hitting on Dubai yet for me.
No, because she's not the alpha. And I like Chanel Ayan, but I think she tries too hard. I want less of her trying and more of her being.
Yeah.
And like,
she studied the Housewives handbook and it's a little too right.
Yeah. Well, and she seems like meat dress Lady Gaga at this stage where it's like every time you see her, she's in some like
That's
crazy thing.
Comparison.
I want more like now Gaga where it's like normal, but heightened.
Quiet luxury.
Why? And not necessarily quiet luxury, but like less like so over the top and like showing up to like salads in like a couture gown being like,
it's
you know, I feel the same way when Angie K shows up dressed as an alien to some like strip mall steak joint. You know what I mean? Where everyone else is in jeans and a t-shirt and she's in these Gucci sunglasses
and
the size
pants.
Of three heads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The last thing about Dubai, I forget who I was talking with about with this, but I realized that like since Dubai has aired, like we've seen like pairs of housewives go over to Dubai and like link up with Chanel. And it's sort of like, is there like a covert, I don't know, campaign to like have housewives go over there and like remind us that the Dubai housewives like exist until we get the second season? Cause it's like, I don't know, Nene and Cynthia went over there. Giselle went over there. Like Phaedra's been over there. I'm sort of like, are they funding these trips? I don't know. That's my conspiracy.
No, I feel like Dubai might be funding these trips to like get people to, well, and here living in London, we're a bit closer.
Right.
And it is like a big, it's kind of more like Vegas-y. Like Americans would go to Vegas, English people would go to Dubai.
Yeah.
And so.
Interesting.
But,
Okay. Okay. The next one I think we'll get is probably Orange County. It's kind of deep into filming now. We know that Alexis is back. You mentioned that picture of Tamra, Heather, and Alexis, which seems like kind of maybe a trio that we're getting this coming season. You know, there's the Shannon of it all. The Trace Amigas kind of
the truck driving.
Again. Right. Yeah. It's like there's a lot. There actually is kind of a lot to be intrigued by for OC this coming season. What are you most excited about? How are you feeling about the state of OC?
I don't know. I have had a hard time with OC for a number of years.
Yeah.
I feel like last year was the first time it got back into something of a bit of a groove.
I liked it. Yeah.
Do I need another season of Tamra falling out with Shannon and Vicky? And like, you know what I mean? Is it like, have I seen this over again? Like, is there anything new here? Is there going to be anything interesting here? I'm not sure. So I will say that I am skeptical, but hopeful.
Okay, I like that. And the last thing about OC, I feel like there's not that much to discuss, but I have my eye a little bit on Tamra because I feel like with the two T's of it all, we're kind of skating a line a little bit. Like, I think that it's kind of like all these housewives and Bravo people are told they're allowed to have podcasts, but you can't really talk about the shows because she started her podcast when she was on pause. It's this sort of gray area, I think. And they have this, like, they get access to all the talent at BravoCon and I think it's interesting and I don't know how sustainable that is.
I agree with you. Like, I feel like it puts Tamra in a weird position. Mm-hmm. And it's also a weird position for the show because we've seen, you know, the fourth wall is lower and lower. It's like barely a fence at this point, you know? And like, once we get rid of it entirely, like, how does that look? But I do love the behind the scenesiness.
I
love hearing like Tamra really get to speak her mind about these things. And, you know, and Teddy being more of a firebrand, I kind of actually enjoy that. So I'm at a
wait and see. Okay.
Yeah. But also, Gibson, put all that talent on your damn show already. Why did the two T's get all the good?
Listen, you're saying what's on my mind. So yeah, the other one that's filming, Salt Lake, you know, obviously it had this like zeitgeist moment with Reality Von Teese, yeah, with the end of season four. Monica is not coming back. We're getting two new women. Mary's also coming back. Are you worried at all about how they follow up the Reality Von Teese of it all?
I mean, yes. And I think that, you know, housewives are always like ebbs and flows. You know what I mean? And that, like, you suffer through the bad seasons to get to the good seasons. And I think we're seeing that with Scandoval now, sure, on Vanderpump Rules. Like, when you have, sure, such a high, like, there's only no way the next season. Yeah, you go. So I'm expecting there to be a little bit of a dip. But that said, like, it's only been four seasons and everyone has brought it. And you have Lisa Barlow, Meredith Marks, Whitney, Heather, you know, like people with great bonds now. And you're going to have these new women. I'm excited to see how they tear it up. I'm even coming around a little bit to Angie K. I am too. So, yeah, I have faith, maybe not a Mormon faith, but I have faith in our Salt Lake City ladies.
That's your tagline.
That they're going to give us something.
Yeah, I think you're right in making the Scandival comparison. But the big difference, like you said, is sort of like the length of time that they have had, that they've been on screen. It's like, yeah, you know, Scandival, that was their 10th season. That was their fourth season with Reality Von Teese. So they still have new things to mine and new relationships and alliances to form. So I'm not worried really, but I do think it will be a slight dip.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be like a rebuilding season, as sure, it were. But sure, like, but the thing
I could still watch. I could still watch them walk onto an airplane, and it'd be entertaining to me.
Absolutely, and that's the thing that I was kind of saying about Potomac, is that there are some of these women that even when the season's boring, I like them so much. I just like spending time with them.
Yeah,
like I just want to see what fucking idiot thing is going to come out of Lisa Barlow's mouth, you know? And so I don't need there to be like all this drama and whatever, because I like spending time with those ladies. So even if it's a little bit down, like I'm still,
it's all relative, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. New York. I thought the reboot was successful, but I also think that they have to step it up for next season. Have you heard anything about casting? I feel like last we heard they're still casting. They have not started filming. What have you heard about New York?
Okay, so these are rumors based on nothing. So believe them, people in the public, as much as you want. But I have heard, I'm like such a housewife, like repeating rumors that I've heard.
Yeah,
I have heard that Jenna is not coming back full time, and that she's either coming back as a friend of, or like a guest, or like she'll be around, but she's not a cast member.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I heard that they're looking for two new people. And I heard, though I do not believe, but I heard that one of those people is Lindsay Hubbard.
Okay.
I do not believe that.
Yeah.
But I have heard that.
I would feel like it would be maybe one or two seasons too early to do that. Maybe.
Agree. And also, I feel like the vibes are off. Same with people who are like, oh my God, somebody had on Twitter, like, you know, who do you want to see on the new cast of New York, whatever. And it showed everybody and they were like, and Dorinda. And it's like, no, like,
no,
you people
no,
don't
no, no.
get it. Like,
no, that's
the
not
vibes
it.
Are off. Like, this is a new thing and mm-hmm. we can't have, and like getting anyone who's too Bravo into it at this point is going to fuck it all up.
They have to slowly get to the being Bravo. They have to slowly get to that point. Where they're too in deep. Yeah.
Yes. But I do think that it's going to be a much more interesting second season, because I think that the women now have a year together. They have experience being on the show, filming the show, and watching the show, and filming a reunion, and going to BravoCon. They've had the full experience. And I think that, you know, I always say all the fights on the show are about the show.
Yeah.
And now that they've had a whole year of the show, we're going to get more fights about the show. And I think it's going to be a lot more interesting.
Completely.
Because I think some people aren't going to be excited that they're not as popular as they thought they were going to be, and that other people may be more popular than them. And so I think that we're going to see a lot of that playing out. And I think it's going to be pretty explosive. So I'm very excited about
that. That's exactly what I'm hoping for. And it's like, I think about somebody like Jessel, and it's like, she was such a fan favorite, but almost accidentally, because she was kind of unaware of how she was. And I'm a little bit worried that she'll come into season two trying to lean into that and not really working. But she is the fan favorite. And I'm sure you know that, you know, Cy and Aaron feel some type of way about that. So let's see that be a kind of a contributing factor. So you're so on the money with that.
Yeah. And I think Bran is going to have a great second season.
Me too.
I think she had a great first season, but I think she's going to be fine tuning. She's going to come out swinging. I think the one thing that New York was missing was the funny. They weren't really giving us funny. And I think Bran is our best way there. And I'm hoping whoever they get, you know, I don't need them to be crazy, but, you know, maybe a little bit more humorous than some of the ladies we have.
And the last thing I'll say is, you know, I actually think was really weird how we couldn't film in Bryn's apartment last season. She got a new apartment.
Yes.
She just moved. So,
yeah. You
know, that is the show is a huge contributing factor to that, too.
Yeah. And if she's moving for the show, you know, she's going to show up to
exactly.
work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Last on our list, Brian, is Atlanta. And it's actually low key kind of what I'm like most excited about. Like there's a lot of.
You're most excited that they're going to fire everybody from Atlanta and start over from scratch because that's what they need to do.
but they're not going to do that. They're bringing Portia.
No, they're not. There's a Portia.
Even if this stuff with Simon wasn't happening, she would be bringing enough energy and like gravitas to the show that I think it needed.
And she's funny.
Yes.
She's funny.
Effortlessly.
Like I said, I want to spend time with Portia. When she's not being a lunatic.
And like we saw her on the Thailand Girls Trip season, which was not a great season of Girls Trip, but she was a huge highlight for me because we weren't having her in Atlanta and she was clocked in humor wise. And we need that. I think her and Kenya will play off of each other. I'm curious in terms of like how they fill in the cast. Because it's interesting. I feel like we got the Portia announcement. Then we got the Marlo announcement that she's not coming back. Candy also announced that she's not coming back. And that sort of happened in like three straight weeks. And then all of a sudden we haven't heard more casting updates. And I'm curious what's going on there.
Is Drew coming back?
I feel like, okay, here's my thing. I feel like if she wasn't, then we would have gotten the announcement from her that she's, you know, stepping away from the show. I kind of hope she's not coming back because I don't think she's ever been fully authentic or truthful with us as viewers. I really don't think that. And she's had three seasons.
I think she drags the show down. I think
I kind of think
like,
so too.
Yeah. Her brand of drama is like too trashy.
It doesn't work for me.
And
it doesn't work for me.
Yeah. No.
No.
And I don't like her. I don't want her back. I don't want Santa Richards Ross back. Mm-hmm. Who else was on?
Marlo's not coming back. Candy's not coming back. Kenya's coming back, probably, I'm guessing. And are we forgetting somebody? Oh, there was like Monietta and like those people who are still filling out the cast.
Yeah. And I could lose all of them.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it opens up a lot, you know, in terms of space and also budget. And I feel like, do you think
you could hire 10 new housewives with what they were paying Candy.
Do you think that they would bring back Phaedra now or wait a season to do that? Do you think they would bring back Kim Zolciak? What do you want it to look like, I guess?
I think that keeping Atlanta an all black space is a good idea. And so I don't think I need Kim Zolciak back.
I don't either. It's also just too dark, the drama that's happening. It's too like bleak for me.
Yeah, 100%. I would like to watch her and Croy both go on Love is Blind. I think that would be hilarious.
Oh my God, that stunt casting right there.
Yeah. What was the question?
Phaedra?
Phaedra? I feel two ways about this. Like, I would love to have her back. I would love to have her back with Portia. I think that she showed us on both Girls Trip and Traitors and Married to Medicine that she is great at what she does. Is it fair to pull her out of Married to Medicine, which I think could use the Phaedra bump? Maybe not, but
I do think she didn't fully click with that group yet. And I also feel like if you compare it to how she was on Girls Trip or Traitors, she's been kind of quiet in that group. She doesn't really assert herself as much. Yeah. And I don't know if that was just sort of like her being a little bit apprehensive about being on this like an ensemble cast again, there was something that wasn't fully clicking on. Not that she can't in another season with Married to Medicine, but there was something that was holding her back. And I thought that was very interesting.
Well, and those women have been together with each other for so long right. that I think it's a really hard dynamic to get sure. into as a newcomer, especially if you're Phaedra and you're used to being central to the action. I could see yeah. how that would be challenging for her.
Yeah. And I guess those other shows don't really open up her life. And I think that maybe she's a little bit nervous to do that again. I don't know. But she yeah. in every interview, she kind of puts it out there like, it'd be a good idea to bring me back to Atlanta. So she's campaigning. So,
you know, I would like to see her, but I would also like to see just some like Atlanta's given us some of our all time best. And I know there's yeah. got to be a lot more of those ladies there.
100%.
And I hope that we get
they're taking their time
some good ones. And I think they should. I mean, I always say it. If there's something wrong with the show, it always comes down to casting, and especially these shows. And so, yeah, I would rather we wait 2 years for another Atlanta where they really get it right. Same with New York, than like rush into it and give it.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Well, Brian, that completes our trip around the world.
Oh, my gosh. Would you like to do the UK Housewives? No, please don't. They're terrible.
I don't watch them. I don't watch them. Sorry to report. But I appreciate you taking the time. I feel like it's always good to just kind of have a little state of the union moment and just really kind of assess where we are. So I appreciate you taking the time, Brian.
It was so fun to do this with you.
Yes. Well, also, if anybody's listening or watching and doesn't have your book, The Housewives, The Real Story Behind The Real Housewives,
I believe it's free on Audible.
There we go. Let's do it.
So
everyone listen. Uh-huh.
Girl, you don't even need to pay for that shit.
You were able to pull back the curtain on so many things, which is essential, I think, if you're really in deep with The Housewives, it's essential to know some of these things. So again, thanks for doing this. Is there anything else you want to plug? You do your Vulture recaps.
Yeah, I'm doing Summer House, Vanderpump Rules, and Survivor of all things.
Oh, fun.
Which I've never recapped before.
That's a fun challenge.
I've always been a huge fan. So, and those go up right after the shows are done.
Love it.
And yeah, so check
Love
this
it.
Out.
All right, Brian Moylan, thanks for doing this. We'll chat again soon. Hopefully see you soon. And have a good weekend.
Bye, you too.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.